a special night because we're going to enter into some of the scriptures. And Randy's class that we just had really was wonderful prep for tonight. I don't know how the Holy Spirit always seems to do that. But I guess because he's God, and it's all about them bringing forth the Son in us, like, they're wonderful. But we're going to talk about travailing to bring him forth. What a time. I've been waiting, 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 slowly walking through the scriptures of Micah to get to these verses. And they are so precious. And I know our hearts are in a place for this to be so much more than teaching, but truly are bringing forth the Son. So let's pray. And let's get our hearts in that place. Lord Jesus, we're coming from our heart, Lord. We're coming from our heart. And we're a little bit overwhelmed, maybe a lot overwhelmed with just the awe, the wonder of your heart that you would desire to bring forth your Son out of us. Lord, it's anything but common to our hearts, though religion has tried to make it just a doctrine. We're being affected. And Lord, our prayers are so insufficient, but Holy Spirit, if you could hear us beyond the words, hear our hearts that want to bring forth the Son, the one that from before time you've desired to bring forth in the earth, in us, his earth. Lord, just move by your Spirit. Speak beyond the words. Breathe into us the heart and the desire of God. Lord, minister to the seed of Christ within us and us as the vessel of his release. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so there's a way that we're going to kind of approach the scriptures, and I believe in the Lord that they will not resonate. So if you're a woman that's fixing to have a baby, okay, and you're going to the doctor or the midwife and you're fixing to pop, right? And you're getting counsel for what you're fixing to go through. So what kind of a midwife or a doctor would you like to have? All right, let's say you're 9+ months, you know, and you're ready. Would you like one to say, no, basically, what's going to happen is the doctrine of childbirth is an interesting phenomena. Basically, there's these parts that this happens to, and you'll experience this, and just kind of walking you through a head intellectual view of the process of bringing forth a child, and really nothing that's going to really get you ready for what's fixing to hit you between the eyes like a Mack truck. All right. You want to go to that kind of clinic or prep? I don't know what you call it because I've never had a baby. Birthing class, right. Do you want to go to that kind of birthing? Thank you. Or do you want to go to the Holy Spirit who from Mary on and in type and shadow before that for thousands of years, his one main business was bringing forth the Son? Now, come on. Who wants a new relationship with the Holy Spirit? I'm serious. I'm all in. I'm in like Flynn. I don't even know who Flynn is and how in Flynn was. But I'm in more than him, I think. Okay, I'm in. I want a new relationship with the Holy Spirit because he knows how to bring forth the Son. I mean, from conception, he was there with Mary. You shall, the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and you shall conceive and bring forth the Son of the Most High God, and he shall be great, and he shall come out of you, and he shall, do you remember the scriptures in Luke? Good God, he was there. He wasn't there going, who was saying this? This is our first quiz. You better get the right answer because you're the only student in the class. Okay. This is our first quiz. Who said, Mary, thou art highly favored of God, for blah, 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 this and that shall happen to you? Who said that? The angel. Okay, you just said two Oh, no, we don't play that game. You pick one. The angel. Which is otherwise, and that would be, yes, you almost got beat, but you made it. You passed. He did not say the Holy Spirit said that. Because if he did, he would have gone, yeah, that would have been no. Because the Holy Spirit didn't come up to him and say, Mary, I bring tidings. This is what's going to happen to you. A, B, C, D, and E. You know, no. A messenger, another word for angel, said that. He had a message. Oh, great. Thank you very much. Here I stand. Something's what? What does this mean? Why do I have a Jewish accent? I don't know. But a messenger just came to me, right? Okay. Means nothing. She's still standing there, you know, this girl without, she's not pregnant. But when the Holy Spirit came, he didn't do a lot of talking. He put the Son of God inside the womb of her being. Who wants a new relationship with the Holy Spirit? Okay, so we had that kind of relationship when we got born again, whether we knew it or not. We were too dumb to get caught up on teachings. So all we could say is, I love you, come into me, amen, I'm saved, woo! You know, we just opened up the floodgate and let the Spirit of God birth the seed in us. We got born again, born of incorruptible seed, right? I believe it happened to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that. But I got born again. Jesus came into me. The seed of God. The seed. Jesus. The Son. So the Holy Spirit did his job. And I was, oh, I didn't even know it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe, but I just knew God. God. God appeared. And inside of me, the life came. Right? That's the Holy Spirit. He knows how to get things down the road. So I'm going to choose either going into the room here with the messenger of God or the room here with the Holy Spirit, who is God. And I'm going to choose room Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is going to bring forth the Son out of an earthen vessel. Who is the little dove that went down there? We talked about him last class with Noah. You know, he's sitting there going, oh, the ark was like a womb, right? Oh, there's no good thing in here. Holy Spirit says, well, that's right, but the seed of God is in here, under the muck of you. He is here, and this womb is going to bring him forth if you just listen to me and believe. You know, when I got that earnest of the Holy Spirit in my ark time, which I know I'm still going to go through it, oh, God only knows till the end of time, I don't know, but knowing me, we got a long way to go. But there has been times I went through a major, that major one, the beginning major one. And I remember when the Holy Spirit brought that earnest. And I'll tell you what that earnest was. It was that kicking baby in my womb. I went, oh, yeah, he's in there. What does that mean, a kicking baby? I didn't feel Holy Spirit goosebumps or like a pressure on my belly or a chill down my spine. I felt like the nature of the lamb hit a little bit. Oh, I'm willing to go into death. That ain't me. I felt the baby kick, the nature rise just a little. And I knew there ain't no way that was me. Because I never, right? That's that earnest, the Holy Spirit. You know, he's starting to say he's in you underneath the 5,000 layers of muck, which is you. He's there. Now, there's only one thing the Father cares about in this whole bestial mess of muck and mire and stench, and that's the seed of God deep inside. His Son is in there. He's in there. He's in there. He's in there. He's, and I am here to identify him. I'm here to, what did John the Baptist do? Kind of a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. He baptized everything into death, baptized it into death, put it in the Jordan, dunked it down, you know, and every time it was, you know, if you will, this is a really raw picture, but you put it into death and they're like, get me out. I mean, they weren't the Son who goes into death in a certain spirit until one day he dunked this guy under and the spirit in which he went under, the spirit in which he goes into death is different. That's the one that, okay, how have you ever wondered, in number one, is the Son really in me? I know he is doctrinally by new birth, but is he really in me like a kicking baby, like a nature that will rise and give its life in real time in my story? Is he really in me? And the Holy Spirit's like, I can identify him. I know him. I know the real one. And I know all your fake lambs. I know them all. I know them by name. It's your name. They all have your name. Every single one. Know them by your name. But you know what? I know him. We're one. I can identify him in you. How come we need the Holy Spirit? Number one, he puts the seed, he brings conception, but he knows the real Jesus that is in, and he knows that Jesus is in us. He knows the real Jesus that's in, and he forms, helps him form in us. We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right, so before the birthing begins, the Lord gave me this question. What kind of labor are we going to enter into? That's the first question. If we're going to go into this labor with the Holy Spirit, we're starting right. Do you see what I'm saying? But then you have to go, what kind of labor are we going to enter into? Is this just going to be a Proverbs 16:26 labor? He that laboreth for himself. Okay. Lord. Chapter 1, chapter 2. I don't want to bring forth from the high places of flesh that you have to tread down. I don't want to bring forth more of me. Now that may seem redundant or technical, or I don't know what. I don't want to bring forth the fruit of my best effort. I don't want to bring forth the fruit of my own righteousness. I don't want to bring my own fruit, good or evil. I don't want to bring forth more of me. I don't want to travail to bring forth something that isn't your son. Now, hey, I believe, and Galatians spells it out, and we'll probably never make it through half of this class again. I thank you, Lord. But there has to come that I believe that place where we travailed, and like the Ecclesiastes girl before the Song of Songs, where we travailed, and it was all just us trying to do it in the flesh. And then the fruit was just not the sun. And it, you see what I mean? Labor and vexation under the sun. How many people have just labored to bring forward Jesus, what you thought was Jesus, or labored to be good in the Lord, or be the good Christian? And it was a travail, and it was a labor, and you pushed, and you pressed, and you gave yourself, and it was the wrong sun. Isn't that what chapter 1 was about? What are the high places of Samaria and Jerusalem? You know, it's what had formed in the people and risen to government. And it wasn't the sun. It had to be tread down. Remember, that's where Micah started. Well, in that sense, he started in a good place. Because he said, in our story, he comes on the scene saying, are you tired of bringing forth the wrong sun? Are you tired? He's not trying to teach us about it. That's the guy in room A, the messenger. This is the Spirit. He's trying to bring forth the Son. So he says, are you tired? Are you tired of just all the time bringing forth something and then it's rejected? All that you invested in it. It's sent into captivity. What did chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 say? Remember? He said, verse 16, I know it's there. What is Micah 1:16? Let's see if we can find that. Make thee bald and pull thee for thy delicate children, for they are gone into captivity. So at the end of chapter 1, he's saying, the delicate children that you nurtured and brought forth, they're all going into captivity. They're not the son. They're not going to the father in sacrifice. They're going into captivity so that you can travail in birth to bring forth the right son there. You see, but there's this sorrow that hits us, me. I know this place. I will know it again and again. Where you just go, oh man, I am so tired of bringing forth Kelly. I am so tired of it just having to be sent into captivity because it's not the son, the firstborn son. And I want to bring him forth. I'm desperate. I'm ready. I'm crippled. I'm lame. I'm barren. I'm not the seed. I'm not the son that the Father's wanting. See, I'm ready to go into captivity and bring him forth now. See, that's a good place to be. That's a good... Everything that we've read up to chapter 4 where we're fixing to go is prep. It's prep for birthing the baby. It's not teaching. It's not teaching about the history of Israel and Judah. It's not teaching about prophetic knowing that God would eventually dwell in man and that we would eventually bring forth Christ and that Christ would be the son of his love. It's not that. It's how, in our story, to bring forth the son. So every word is either going to be something separate from bringing forth the Son and a teaching that we forget. It means nothing. We walk out of here and we don't even remember it. It's gone. I don't even remember it the next day, and I taught it. Or we're going to bring forth the Son, and we won't have to remember how we brought forth the Son, because it isn't about how we brought him forth. It's about the Son we bring. You see what I'm saying? It's about the Son. A woman doesn't go in there and say, I cherish the process. The process is why I'm here, for the process. I'm here to journal the childbirth experience. Now, I don't care if I have a son or a daughter after, but that day gum journal is going to mean everything to me. I have a cradle at my house for the journal. The baby, I don't know. Maybe my aunt will keep it. A lot of work there. But the journal is less work. I love the notes. They're great notes. Golden. They're golden. These are mysteries revealed. I'm going to feed my notes with a little bottle. It doesn't even go to the bathroom. I don't change diapers. It's beautiful. My aunt can change that kid. I don't know, whatever. But I want to journal the journey of how I'm going to have a baby. And that journal is going to mean everything. It's my life work. The journal is my legacy. Publish it. Distribute it. And the sonless me will rejoice forever. We laugh. But I should cry. I've done it. It's a travesty. I mean, these pictures are awesome because they catch us off guard. But they're true. I didn't even plan any of these pictures. Or we can say, get me there, Holy Spirit. Get him out of me. Get him out of me. And everything we listen to with different ears. Ears that say, I just want to bring forth Christ. He's all that matters to me. He's all that matters to me. He's everything to me. He's everything. This Son is more important to me than my own life. This Son is more important to me than riches, silver and gold. This Son is more important to me than my reputation, than my body looking good after I have this baby, than what I have and don't have. If I lose my health, bring it. I want this baby to live. I want to bring him forth. He's everything to me. If I go to the poor farm trying to raise this kid, I want him. Because he's everything to me. He's everything to me. You start listening. Holy Spirit says, I know how to get him out of you. I know how to release him in eternal satisfaction and true formity to the Father's desire. He will be who he is as the Father wants him. You want that? Yes, I do. You want a healthy son? Oh, yes, I do. I want that. You really want it? Are you ready? I'm ready. How do I get this healthy son? You know what healthy son is? A slaughtered lamb. And what I'm saying, a healthy Jesus is a slaughtered lamb. Our unformed Jesus is just like, well, I guess maybe today, I don't know, whatever. He's half us. He's sickly. Jesus isn't sickly, but he's unformed. I want a healthy boy. I want a boy that's formed just as the Father's desired him from the beginning out of me. I want it for him. I want it for the Father. I want him. I want. You listen. You approach the Holy Spirit. Then all of a sudden we go back to these sharings. And they're not just, oh yeah, I remember that. I wasn't deep. I journaled that. I did journal that. In class I liked it. It was neat. Moved me for 5 minutes. I felt deep and spiritual, kind of increased my flesh. Never really translated into bringing forth a lamb, son, but I guess, you know what, it's a good memory. I can't remember the memory, but it was good. It was deeper than usual. I mean, God, help me. I don't want to do that. I've done that. I do that. That's Kelly all the way. I want Jesus. I want to bring him forth. This is the season of life, right? Let's make it that from our hearts. Amen? From the student to the whatever. We're all in it together. It's one son, and we're travailing to bring him forth. So we go back to these scriptures, and we say, Holy Spirit, you were right there being that counselor and guide in birthing, right? That helper, that the comforter, that Father's Jesus sent. I want you. I want you. So we reread that and we go, I'm going to bring forth the Son. I'm not going to do that old thing again. How many of you want to just go around the block one more time, go through the horrors of labor and travail, and it just be the wrong son? Although delicate, because you nurture, you know, you can nurture that delicate babe. It's like, oh my gosh, my delicate child is back, sent back into captivity. He said, pull your, he just said, mourn this. just mourn it, because it is, it's tough to keep mourning that delicate child that comes out and has to go straight into captivity because it's not the firstborn son. It's like, just, but let that mourning not be for that delicate child, but that you didn't bring forth the firstborn son. Let those tears go in that direction. And so after all of that, we looked at, I just felt from the spiritual review, so after all that, you know, we think, oh my gosh, the Lord must be so mad at me. So these are things that affect childbirth, right? So if a woman is all caught up, right, in all this junk, and I don't know it from personal experience, but I know it because I know it from spiritual experience deeply. You're caught up in all this junk, and you're worrying, and you're obsessing, and your just mind isn't where it should be. Your heart and isn't where it should be, cultivating the seed. You know, that's not good. You start thinking, man, I brought forth all these. Yeah, it's supposed to work something in you, but it's not supposed to work against bringing forth the son. It's supposed to work in you a deep desire to bring forth the right son and a brokenness to go the old path. But these scriptures are going to get pretty darn powerful on the Lord's encouragement. But it's supposed to bring you to a place where you're ready for him in this way. And that's what happened when we looked at verse 15 of Micah. Talked about all that stuff that happened in chapter 1, of bringing forth the wrong, being filled with the flesh, all this. And he said, yet, and these words are so good from the heart of the Father, yet will I bring an heir unto thee. Now that's not a teaching in Micah, that's the heart of our Father right now. You failed. You were. Look at Judah. Look at Israel. Look at the. Go into the scriptures and just see what they were offering up to God, the vileness. And the Lord saw it and dealt with them. But listen to his heart in verse 15. And we looked at this, but we have to look at it with these eyes, with this view. Yet will I bring an heir. An heir is who? The firstborn son. The firstborn is the heir. Yet. And yet, that word yet. What does the word yet mean? Mallory, yet means? Yeah, despite. Just in spite of. Yeah, just despite all the stuff you've done. I'm still gonna. And he doesn't just say, be merciful to you. My mercies are new every morning, which I believe has to do with bringing forth the son. All my heart, I believe it. And I think the scriptures can prove it out. But that's another day, another time. But he goes, even though I am still gonna bring forth that firstborn son unto, it says, this is an to unto thee, out of thee. The Father's heart for his son to come out of us has not changed. No matter how bad that ark experience, you see what I mean? If we, no matter how bad that ark experience gets, no matter how bad we see what we've brought forth, these delicate children that weren't the firstborn son that are just rejected, the Father goes, I'm still going to bring forth an heir. Even despite all that, yet I am going to bring forth an heir out of you. I'm going to. My heart is set on my son coming out of you. I mean, is that love? Is that amazing love that he has so desired to live in us, to be with us within us, be with us within us by his son, that he has so desired to be with us within us, that despite all that is earth and ark and us, he's saying, yet I will bring forth an heir. This, you know, you get caught up in the heart of God, you have got faith in darkness, light in the worst storm, because of the heart for his son, for the heart for his son. It never, it's like north. What is it called? Due north. What is it? True. Yeah, it's true. That heart, the Father's heart for his son is that true north, that no matter how bad you failed, how your, you know, women get their hormonal, they can't, their emotions, it's, you know, it affects some people, get it worse than others, can't reason right. But the Father's heart to bring his son out of us is our true north. And it will hold true through every storm that we cause, and we are. It will hold true. That woman in labor has to hold on to that. She has to. Or she's just going to say, I can't do it. I am too big of a failure. And where's her focus? I can't. No, stop it. Stop it. That's the Holy Spirit. Stop it. Amen. Yet I will bring an heir out of you. Come on. Come on. I am not saying that after you did good, because then it wouldn't mean anything to us. You were so spiritual. You did everything right. I'm so proud of you, the things you did, and the Lord made me so proud. You stood out. You were great. Yet will I bring an heir unto you. You earned it, buddy. No, you are a violation of everything that he is. You have proven to me time and again that you won't bring him forth. Because that's what I'm talking about, the scriptures now, the history of what is in chapter 1. Yet I will bring an heir unto you. Come on. True north, man. True north. You grab hold of that. You set the compass of your mind, will, and emotions to that true north of the Father's heart for his Son in and out of us. And you start going. You start pushing. That's right. Pushing back the darkness that is you and digging down for the seed that is him, right? And getting with the real deal. The real deal, which is not teaching. Yet will I bring an heir unto you. Yeah, in that hog pen, the father will bring forth his firstborn son unto them. Yeah, so we see it with the prodigal. He's in the hog pen. The father's heart is true north. He hadn't changed a heartbeat. He hadn't changed a heartbeat. And he's working stuff in that son to get him to a place where he wants to bring forth the son. It says it in Galatians. If you really read through this, the flow of Galatians, I just love it. Let me read a few verses out of Galatians just to bring the spirit of this. So, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman. I'm not talking about feminist things. I'm talking about made of an earthen vessel. He sent forth his son made of an earthen vessel. He's talking about Christ in us. Not just the one that's above. Made what? Under the law. Glory to God. To redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of what? Of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but of a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are only an heir because the firstborn son is coming forth out of us. His spirit inherits all things, not just in name and title. Now, I know that we truly, because we are in Christ, we are risen together in heavenly places, and we've inherited all spiritual things in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe that's true, but we don't partake of that inheritance except by the very spirit of the Son coming forth. I believe that. I do believe that. But we have to bring him forth. He has to come forth of a woman under the law. Hell, that's us, all right? That's us. But in the fullness of time, the Father sent forth the spirit of that Son and redeemed her. And she cried out, Abba, Father, and a spirit that is not anything that we are, released out from her, came out of her, birthed out of her, and she became an heir through that son. Through him she possessed the land. Through him she took the enemy. Through him she was redeemed. It says in 2 Timothy, I can't remember the verse here, I think I have it down somewhere, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:15, that you'll be saved in childbirth. I mean, we want to be saved in fixing ourselves and laboring to make our flesh better. But we're saved in childbirth. We're saved when the Son comes out of us. He has made unto us salvation, wisdom, sanctification. He has made that, and when he comes forth, isn't it wonderful that he's our everything? I know that's very side, but I think it's okay. Let's keep going. Okay, so then we went to the breaker. Let's read the breaker scriptures. That's Micah chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. And let's just look at those scriptures in terms of, I want to bring forth this baby. I don't want a deep teaching about the breaker, you know, because how many people loved the breaker sharing, but can't even fully remember it? It has no real impact. I mean, I'm raising my hand. Okay. Well, forget it then. Let's flush it down the toilet and get it from the Holy Spirit. Okay, we heard it in room A with the messenger. Did nothing. May have got a journal for the baby journal crib. Okay. Nothing. So let's go to room B where the Holy Spirit is, and let's get it again from him. But let's get it so we can bring forth the Son and not just learn about the process. Okay, so here I'm going to read it. This is Micah 2, 12 through 13. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of the fold, they shall make great noise by the reason of the multitude of men. And then verse 13 is the key one. The breaker is come up before them. He has broken up. He has passed through the gate, and they are gone out by it. Their king shall pass before them. Their Lord is the head of them. Okay, so we saw that Jesus is the breakthrough because of the nature in which he gives himself. But the way I felt the Holy Spirit shared it with me for us in childbirth in a real way. Please don't take this as a teaching. Please, please let it be for you, us, in bringing forth the Son. Is that it was a picture of childbirth. Okay, so I saw the breaker as in a picture of childbirth, and I'm not trying to read childbirth into everything. You ask the Lord if there's anything here. I honestly am the stupidest person in this room, so you shouldn't trust me. But ask the Lord. Check with him in the scriptures. But here's some thoughts to ponder. Here we see the breaker in the picture of childbirth. His coming forth releases his fullness out from within us. So the firstborn son is the heir that opens the flow of light out from deep within us. Bringing forth the son. Okay. His coming forth opens the flow of living waters to follow, which are his life. He is the tree of life. He is the wounded lamb on the throne. He is the good shepherd who himself is a slaughtered and offered lamb. And when he, the firstborn son, breaks free from his prison within us and is released in real life situations that are experienced in Babylon, there is a release of all the fullness that was penned up of his life in us. Okay, I don't know how to do this. This is silly. I don't know. Lord, forgive me. Just consider these things, right? Okay, so I don't know where y'all can see. So here's the pen, okay? And this is like the fields of Bozrah, but it was the sheep pen, okay? And so what's inside the sheep pen? All these sheep. And let's say that he's the firstborn among many brethren, and that all these little sheep just represent his nature in us, the fullness of Christ that is in us. For we have received of his fullness, it says, and that grace for grace. So Christ is in us in his fullness. And his fullness is, by nature, lamb, sacrificial, right? So we've got all this Jesus penned up inside, amen? Haven't y'all heard say, you have Jesus, you've received him in his fullness. He just can't daggum get out of you. There he is. There's a lot of him. He's penned up, right? And let's just think of this. It's your big old belly. Right? This son is, that's just one son in all his fullness, needs to get the heck out of Dodge. That's you. He needs to get out of the pen. He's penned up. So Jesus is the breaker. He breaks free out of that womb. He's like, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I am tired of being in this belly, and I'm coming out. And following me is all my fullness. Like rivers of living water. Woo! He's going to break free. He's the breakthrough. And it's the firstborn son. It's not me or you. You think you're going to be the breakthrough that releases all that life out of you? He is the breakthrough. He's the breakthrough, and he breaks free. And when he breaks free, he breaks free. Because then there's a whole flock of lambs back there. And it's all his nature, ready to be on altars. How many altars? How many lambs do you need for an altar if you're in Israel? You need a lot of Jesus. To, you know, morning and evening sacrifice, perpetual burnt offering. And then there's the feast days and et cetera, and all your sin offerings and everything else for other sweet savor and all the meal thanks offerings. You need a lot of lamb to satisfy the Father's heart for his son. You need fullness. And he's in there in fullness. He's just been penned up. You need that baby to come out. The breakthrough isn't going to be your determination. The breakthrough isn't going to be your teaching and deep doctrine, anointed Holy Spirit, this, that, the other, giftings. It's going to be when he gets big enough and formed enough to kick and come forth and break out in sacrifice. Let my firstborn come unto me in sacrifice. When Christ is formed enough, where he can break loose from the prison of our soul and selfish being to give himself in sacrifice, he opens the floodgate for his spirit to start moving out of us in a new way. And that is a breakthrough. Okay? He's the breaker. So our faith, even, and so why would the Holy Spirit share that? Oh, another great teaching. Love the teaching. I'm going to draw a picture in my journal. Great stuff. No. So that when I want this Jesus that's in me out of me, right? And I am pushing, and I am pushing, and I am pushing, and I am pushing, and I feel like I'm beginning to travail in the flesh, right? I'm trying to say, Holy Spirit, I travail in birth that Christ might be formed in me so that he can get big enough and strong enough to break free from the prison of me and release out of me in life. He needs to be formed. Yeah, he's got to be formed. And so I'm not going to travail to get something out of me. I'm going to travail to get somebody formed in me, and he'll get out of me. So, right? And there's a big difference to a mama getting a baby out. One is just, it's like, it's all my responsibility. I got to do this. I got to know. Put all that energy and travail into getting Christ formed in you. Last class, Randy really talked about travail. We're not travailing in birth to make something. We're travailing in birth for Christ, the firstborn son, to be so formed in us that he can break out of us in life. Focus the energy there. Don't focus it on teaching. Don't focus it on you getting better. Focus it on the firstborn son that is in there, in all his fullness, getting formed so he can come out. So that now the breaker thing is different, right? Do you hear the counsel of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so then, I'm sorry, I'm going a little fast here. There's a flock of lambs within us. There's rivers of living water. There's the fruit of his spirit, the tree of life. I mean, there's a tree of life in us, but its fruit can't come out. It's penned up. I mean, you could replace these lambs with a tree of life, which is the slaughtered lamb that's in us, Jesus, the seed. There's a tree of life, but all the fruit can't come out. It's penned up, right? It's penned. How many people feel it? The baby's penned up, right? Well, how come it can't come out? It's not formed enough. You see what I mean? So we travail that he be formed so he can come out. It's a different focus. So there's other examples, but there you go. Okay. And then we had the Tower of the Flock, which was last week, Micah 4:8, which I haven't even uploaded to the website yet because I just so deeply don't want it to be a teaching. I can't put it up. It's such a tremendous teaching that I'm afraid it's going to be a tremendous teaching. And it's just going to puff us up with great teaching instead of help us bring forth Jesus. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose what could be for the son to a teaching. I don't. You know, I just couldn't bring myself to upload it. I just. And so can we just pray and ask this happen? And Lord, I am the first and probably the chief. Yes, not probably, but yes, the chiefest among sinners, who will just take and love the teaching and the journal notes, and leave the son. I don't want that, Father. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Lord, I want my focus to be, and I don't even want it. It is. I am. My heart is turning. My focus, Lord, is your son. I want him. Him. He is the fulfillment, and he's the true. He's the one. Lord, I just ask, not just in this class, which is of nothing, but of all that your messengers share with us, that the Holy Spirit would take that and bring forth Christ, Lord, and that our hearts would be in that place, good ground. So it could be about bringing forth Jesus now in our lives instead of bringing forth us and other things that aren't him. Oh, Lord, we just ask your Spirit now to continue to deal with us and overshadow us, and may our heart turn with his turnings towards the Son. As one heart, may we with the Spirit cry, come, Lord Jesus, come forth out of me. Come quickly, Lord. Let it be the cry of our heart, Lord. Let it be the focus of our desirings. Let it be so much more than a prayer. Let it be our breath and our heart, our night meditation. Oh, our unsatiable desire that the Son would come out, Lord. Let it be brand new in the motive and intent of our being, Lord. That we would align ourselves with your heart for the Son in brand new ways, giving so much more place to the work of God within us to bring him forth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so then we have the Tower of the Flock. I didn't even look at my notes because I so wanted it to not be notes. So I don't want to go too deep there, just in the sense that, he says, O thou, O Tower of the Flock, daughter of Zion, unto you it will come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom will come. So he's saying, listen, 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 people. He's saying that to these. Micah's saying it. The Spirit of God is saying it to all generations. He's saying, you're like the tower of the flock in this, that the right one is going to come into you. The right one. The right lamb. The right sacrifice. He's coming, even the firstborn, the first dominion, and the kingdom. The Holy Spirit isn't messing around. He knows which is the right lamb, and he's going to put him in you. O tower of the flock, place where the sacrifice is birthed. You'll have the right one. The Father, the Spirit, will make sure that the right son is in you. The lamb who will be fit for the altar, he'll be in you, not of your own design or will, but of the Father, not of flesh or blood, but by the will of the Father. Will he be birthed into you? O tower of the flock, simply saying, O place where the right sacrifice will be birthed. Have this confidence, the right one is in you. Why would he need to say that? Because they're probably not sure they have a right lamb to offer at this point. There's been so much failure, so much flesh, so much rejected children, that they're going, do I even have the right offering inside of me? Oh, tower of the flock, place where the right sacrifice, you do. Even the first dominion, even the firstborn, even the kingdom, Christ in you is the kingdom. He's there. He's there. He's there. And we can say, okay, I'm good. I'm good now, because now I can realize that I don't have to go through those other things. I can put all my confidence in the seed, right? That the Father has put the right seed in me in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will call his name Jesus, the firstborn son. My confidence is in this. That's big. That's not a teaching, guys. That's big for our hearts, and I know we know that. I know we know that. So the next verse is now where we're at. Here we go. We're in Micah 4:9, and here's where it gets fun. Here's where I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to come. Our first juicy bits, and they're all juicy, but I really love these verses. Now why? Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9. So now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Okay. So the first verse is, now why have you, or why are you crying out loud? Can you just hear God saying that to you? Now, after we've talked about all this, it's the breakthrough babies in you, the tower of the flock, the right lamb sacrifice is in you, right? That I will bring an heir unto you. I told you at your worst moment. Why are you crying? Is there no king in you? Has thy counselor perished? Where's the Holy Spirit? Is he gone? I thought he said he wouldn't leave you. Is he gone? Has your counselor perished? Is the seed, is the firstborn not in there? Why are you crying? Can you hear it? Why? Explain to me these tears. Well, I failed him so much. I had these my delicate children, and I tread my high places, and it just can't ever do right. Yeah, we know. He put the right seed in there. We just talked about that for the last three chapters. I guess you weren't listening, just teachings. And then he says, okay, is there no king in you? Are you telling me then, on all the basis of your arguments, of these tears, that there's no king in you? Well, I'm stuck here in Babylon for 70 years. I don't know. Who knows, man? Did he not just say tower of the flock? Did he not just say breakthrough? Did he not just say this one is in? You're telling me there's no king in you? Is that what we're saying? And he's waiting for an answer. I mean, he's not answering the question because we have to. Are you telling me there's no king in you? Is that what we're saying? You're telling me my son isn't in you, okay? Okay. Is the counselor perished? Where's your counselor? Who are you listening to? Who's your who is your counselor in childbirth? Who is the one that's, who's giving you this counsel? Where are you getting this? Is the Holy Spirit left you? Has he not committed himself to bring forth the Son in you? Where is he? I don't know, man. I don't know. I got some bad counselors. I got some really bad counselors, man. And that's your fault for listening to him. Stop listening to him. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Come on. He has not perished. He's God. And then he says, now listen, listen. Pangs have taken hold of you like a woman in travail. How prayer? You're going to hell because you're a sinner. You know what? This is what this is about. You're cut off. Yeah. You are cut off. Babylon is
you out of here. You know, it's you know, purgatory before hell, and there's no earning anything. You know, I mean, I don't know what we're thinking, but when we get in that place, we're freaking out. We're just like, is the king not in you? Is the counselor perished? You are like a woman. These pangs that you're feeling are because why would you feel a pang? Because you had pizza? I need an answer. Why would you have pangs in your belly? There's a baby trying to get out. So he's saying, the pangs, the pain, what you're going through is travail to bring forth. You are like, whether you're a man or a woman, you're like a woman in travail. There's a baby in there. We're trying to get him out. Well, I just thought it was all about my sin and my incessant failures, my hopeless flesh. They're just my me. Why are you crying out loud? How many times we can do this all year long? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? This isn't about you, lady. Never has been, never will be. It's about the Son. It's all about Him. And you're part of it as one with Him in the most beautiful, incredible way of love. It's about Him. True North. The true north of the Father's heart, and your part as one. Why do you cry aloud? And then he says some beautiful words. Be in pain. What? You're not allowed to say that anymore. We have laws against that, even in the churches. Be in pain is not allowed. Bring the compassionate ministry ambulance over here. Get those guys out of there. CPR, man. She's in pain. She's travailing. Pray for her. God, bind the devil. Do something to stop this. You know, it's like the clowns getting out of their car and just doing a little routine. It has no effect because this woman is in travail. She's having a baby. There's something going on. It has nothing to do with petting her poor flesh. It's getting the baby out of it. Wrong ambulance. Don't call them. Call the ones who want Jesus more than life itself, who want to bring forth the Son. And they'll say, be in pain, lady. Be in pain. Why are you not going to have mercy on me? I'm really going through this, man. I could lose my ever-loving mind. Good, you need to lose your mind. Lose it fast and get the mind of Christ. It is time. Even get rid of you. The Lord is waiting. We're all waiting. You're waiting more than anyone. Let it happen. Glory to God. You know, you can't say that. It's mean. I don't know. Is it mean? Is it really mean you want to live with you the rest of your life instead of be filled with the Son? I don't know. I think it's nice. It's a mercy. That wound is a merciful balm. David said, you know, thank you so much for afflicting me right now. I need it. Be in pain. Be in desperation. Be at the end of yourself. Come to an end. Don't save someone right before they're about to just finally come to the end of themselves. And then here come the compassionate ministry police with their horns beeping and their sirens on and their... And, ooh, she's almost dead. She's almost dead. Come on, bring her back. She could die and bring forth Christ in childbirth. We wouldn't want that to happen. We wouldn't have a ministry anymore. You know? No. Let her die. It's the only kind of a medic whose job is to let them die. Let them die. The worst thing you can do to someone when they come to the end of themselves is save them. Encourage their flesh. You have to stand before God the Father for that. He's like, dude, I worked for 10 years to get him there. And you saved them from bringing forth my Son so they wouldn't feel bad. You saved them from bringing forth my Son, so they would. You did that to me. And then you thought you were really great and a sweet person because you were so compassionate. Did you kind of get the feel of, wow? And the devil says, if God loved you, if people loved you, they'd be nicer to you. No. Be in pain. Yeah. I've had the Lord say that to me. I've had the people I didn't want to say it to me, be in pain. And I had to say no to the big old devil in my own mind and say, you know what? I'm going to believe this is the Lord because I want to bring forth the Son. And I pressed past my soul and my darkness and my wounded, stupid stuff. And I said, this is exactly what I need. Bring it on. Let's get this baby out. Let's do this. Let me die and let him live. Amen. Let me die and let him live. And then it says, labor to bring forth like a woman in travail. So be in pain and start laboring to get Jesus out instead of fixing you, instead of remedying the problem, instead of answering the fear. You know, we can spend all of our time answering the fears. Lord, I'm so afraid that I won't be loved and accepted ever again. I won't be needed. I won't be cherished. I. You know, number one, when the heart turns towards the Lord, it's not about us. But when the Son comes forth, come on. Number one, who cares what happens to us when the Son comes forth? We're the vessel. We're the mama. We're the place. But he's going to live under the Father. He's the Son. I would rather have the Son coming out of me than me get all the glory or be special loved and needed because the Son came out of me, right? You got to count the cost, not having my own, but having him. I want it. I want it. Paul, you know what I'm saying, right? You got to want it. You got to want it more than your own life. So that doesn't mean anything unless you start travailing. When you start travailing and being in pain and all that stuff's hitting you and you're in Babylon, why are you in Babylon? Because you were sent there because you brought forth the wrong son, right? So you're there and you know what you are and all the failures surround you and all the fears overwhelm you and people are saying be in pain instead of God bless you and bring him forth instead of fix it up. And the Lord's like, come. And you got the counselor there, the Holy Spirit saying, let's do this. Let's do this. You got the Father crying out for his son. You got the life of Jesus as the breakthrough forming and pushing, I want to live and sacrifice. I mean, you're surrounded in the bundle of life. Don't go with our, we don't want to go with our soul. We don't want to go with our mind. We don't want to go with our fears. We want to go with God and bring forth the Son. You know what I'm saying? That's the real deal, people. That's real. That's so real. When you get to chapter 4, verse 9 through 13, it's on, baby. It's on. You're on that bed and you are bringing it. It's coming. And the devil, like in Revelation chapter 12, he is there to gobble it up before it can come out. Yes, he is. If anyone's ever been through this, you know that. The enemy's right there. I don't want him to come out. And I'm going to use everything I can do that your carnal mind will let me do to usurp this one from being manifested out from you. I'll use fear. I'll use blame. I'll use not fair. I'll use compassionate ministry. Should be. I'll use everything I can do. I earned this. I deserve this. Me. All the carnal world can offer, aligned with the enemy from whence it came, to usurp that son from coming. And when you're on that table, spiritually speaking, travailing to bring forth, it is on. You got to know. It ain't doctrine anymore. That day, the enemy knows it's on, but the Spirit of God knows it's on. The Father knows it's on. Those seeds are breaking free out of doctrine form into living son form. And it isn't about teaching anymore. You gotta, you know, get real. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I love that. That's what my life is. I love that I came to a church that I knew not of from a land far away that emphasized bringing forth Jesus. And when I came here, it was like coming to a manger that was hidden and of no repute, where I could just know Jesus as my life until he could get big enough where I could bring him forth. And every time I bring him forth, the Lord would make that fire seven times hotter and I'd have to travail and the enemy would come and I'd have to fight real fights and know real battles and experience the real me and find the real Jesus and know the real Holy Spirit and bring forth Christ in a real way. I love it. That's what this life has been to me. It is. And I just feel so sorry for anyone who just comes here and has only doctrines and ministries. And it's been me in many ways. I've got caught up in that tide at times. But I haven't always been in it. I have from the start wanted Jesus. And I got my little rear end back on track. You bet I did. I do it every day if I need to. He is my true north. And I am set. And I will be till the day I die. I'm bringing forth Jesus and not getting caught up in the dull, dead religion of me and this earth.
And I do, I feel sorry for anyone who falls asleep and just rides out the tide and doesn't enter into travail and knowing Jesus as their life. We all have choices. Is the cross a doctrine or a daily choice to bring forth the Son? Do we travail or is it just something? We hide the devil in our mind and we just hold the offense and we don't let the Son come out and scaly flesh covers him over so he'll never break free because we've put so much flesh over him. He can't because we don't let him form. That's our choice. That's our choice. Well, we can fight. We can press. We can push. We can cry out, not because our failures, but because we're just we're groaning with all creation for the manifestation of the Son of God out of us. We can do that. We can. You ever feel dull and just dry? You will never feel that way if your life is about bringing forth the Son. You won't. Everything is gathered into birthing the lamb and sacrifice out of you, the womb of your heart and your attitudes. It is. It's not a teaching. It's not an inspired moment right now. It's when you go to work and you can let him break loose and come forth in the way you release your spirit, his spirit, instead of yours. And when you don't fall on your face and bow down in shame and bow down in, I'm such a, you know, all that condemnation, and then have a compassionate minister try to get you up out of your pain. You bow down in childbirth. You say, Lord, when I bow before you, I'm as a woman bowing down to release the Son and sacrifice at your feet. I am not bowing down in shame over me. I am dead. I am dead, and the Son is my life, and I'm going to get him out of me. Who died for me, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives through me, and it's not a doctrine to me. So when I bow down, I'm bowing down like a woman in birth to get him out. So that what you get when I pray, Father, is your Son out of me. Not all my boo-hoo-hoo and commitment. I want the Son to be released like sweet incense, prayers that rise, because it's the Son who came forth, not my great praying ability. I want Jesus to come forth. See, it's a song. It's a cry. It's a breathing and a living and a giving of your heart to the Son in a way that's beyond doctrine. We have that here in this place. God raised this place up for his Son in that way. Let's not let it die. Let's not let it die. Let's not let that die. Let's let that heart beat. It's never beaten before in any generation. Let's do that. Let's do it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking like this. I don't mean to be so excited. I'm sorry. It's not my place. I'm sorry. I just want the Son. I want him for me, and I want him for everybody. And I love what God has brought me into in this place, in these people that are so precious. And I'm speaking as if I have something that I don't have, and these people around me have more than me and have covered me in all my childbirthing and all my enemy junk. Everyone here has been the Lord Jesus Christ to me. And I'm sorry for speaking. I have no place to do that. Forgive me. I want to bring forth the Son with all of you. I do. And I just want us to enter in together. That's all. And forgive my frailties and releasing it in my offness. I mean, I'm not a teacher, and here I am shouting it out. I'm sorry. I'm just someone who needs to bring forth the Son, and I want to carry my heart and my spirit in that way. And behind all of that, that's where my heart is. So I believe that's where all of our hearts are, and we come together to encourage each other in that, not to just talk about it. You know, we come together to encourage each other in it, not just talk about it, but to encourage each other so we can. And I hope these scriptures encourage you, because they are dynamite, man. They are dynamite if they're not teachings. And the Spirit of God will whisper these to you in your darkest moments when you're writhing and travailing and in pain. And he'll just say, hey, is there not a king in you? Has your counselor perished? Come on, come on. I will bring an heir out of you. Come on. Let that child form and break through. Let that firstborn son. He'll start lifting your heart up into Jesus, right? That's what we're doing right now. And it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's doing that. And I get excited because, let me tell you, if any woman's had a hard birth, I am sure she gets excited when she talks about, and I've had some hard births of the Son. I am telling you, he did not just pop out. It was travail. And it still is. And you just, oh, But he came, right? He came. He came forth in certain ways. The Son has come out of me in certain ways. It ain't me. It's despite me. But there's been birthing. And it was rough going because of this old girl, Kelly. But God got him out. And he taught Spirit. That counselor was like, come on. And I'm just wanting to encourage you. Let's, you know, it's the worst of times. It's the best of times. It's the hardest thing you'll ever go through. It's the best thing you'll ever go through because the Son will come and you'll forget all the pain for the joy that you brought for Christ. So Lord, let it be. Let it be. Keep threshing us. Keep bringing us to the point where it's not teaching, where it's not doctrine, where it's not something we journal, where it's not something that we won't remember, but it's part of something we won't remember because all we'll remember is the Son that's coming out of us. That's the only thing we'll remember is the beautiful Son who is our life, who flows forth like flocks of lambs and rivers of living water. And oh, the tree of life with 12 different fruits that bring healing to the nations from the very womb of our spirit where the living, giving, slaughtered Son is, the one you put in us. Lord, just forgive me for misrepresenting you in so many ways because I'm desperate for you, Lord. Despite me, please help people to receive what is of you and what's not of you. Just winnow it away, just from our memories, just the chaff that is me. And there's so much of it, Lord. Let it be removed so they can just receive from you without the hindrance of me, Lord. I ask this for Jesus' sake, Father. I ask this for your Son's sake. So I ask this for him, Father. I ask you to bless each one, overshadow them, bring forth Jesus. Bring forth Jesus. And thank you for our Skype brothers and sisters. Thank you for them being with us as we travail together to bring forth the Son. There we are one. We are one. We are together. We are together. We are together. We are one. And we are wanting him in life. We want him. We want to bring him forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.